One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, it's Chris.
Hey, everybody. What is going on? Welcome back to Chris vs. the People. I'm Chris Clemens. Or if this is your first time listening to Chris vs. the People, welcome. This is a fun time that you never know what you're going to get, but you're going to leave the episode with something. This is our fourth episode, and it's kind of gaggy because I feel like I've been doing this for literally 10 years already. But at the same time, it's like, oh my God, this is our fourth episode. I'm very excited with how it's going, and I love hearing your guys' feedback. A reminder, you can rate and review Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts, as well as subscribe while you're there. We have video episodes up on youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. Our video episodes are sick. Oh my God, I'm wearing a hoodie today, or like a sweatshirt. There's technically no hood on it. And it used to be so small on me, and now it's like, I'm swimming in it? What? That's so crazy of me. No, but all of that to say, we have video episodes. Jesus God. Today's episode, I'm pretty excited about. We had to move some things around, but most of this, if not all of it, is going to be silly debauchery. Like, I don't think we're going to get as deep in this episode as we do in others. That being said, knowing my luck, will this entire episode turn out being deep? Yeah, it will, but I don't think it will because I said so. Now, if you want to be a caller on Chris vs. the People, there is a Google Doc in the description of every episode that you can fill out. The prompts will occasionally change, and I basically go through them and decide what I want to hear about because I am above all what? A nosy bitch. And then just a reminder, if you love this podcast, I'm going on the road to Austin, Atlanta, Raleigh, North Carolina, Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. And I'm very excited to be hitting the road. And the live shows are somehow an even more insane version of this podcast. And I'm just very excited to be going to all new cities and doing all new shows. So if you are in the area, get some friends. I'm telling you, it is always so fun. Like, not to toot my own, but, you know, anyways, no one gives a shit. The tickets are in the description if you want to go get it, or they're on my Linktree, linktree.com. I don't know what that link is. Our first call is with someone named Taylor, and we are solving a case of if they are the asshole for telling my new brother-in-law's girlfriend. Well, I'll let them speak for themselves. Hi, Taylor. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. I'm calling because we are figuring out if you're the asshole for telling your new brother-in-law's girlfriend that you, quote, should have sat her in the janitor's closet at the wedding so no one had to look at her.
Yeah.
I'm going to be just totally upfront with you, Taylor. Yeah. Right now, pen to paper, you are, in fact, the asshole, because that's crazy. However, I am going to let you speak for yourself. We're going to get some info, and then we're going to see if my verdict changes, because I'm like, girl, I mean, what do you think? Okay, so what is going on here?
Okay, So we're going to call him Randy, and we're going to call her Melanie.
Okay, and Randy is your new brother-in-law. How?
It's my husband's brother.
Okay, your husband's brother, Randy. His new girlfriend, who did we call her? What are we calling her? What's her gig?
Melanie. They were actually together for a while before the wedding.
Okay.
But he was my new brother-in-law because, like, we had just gotten married. So it was, like, at the wedding.
Oh, so this is happening at your wedding?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The gag is, that is the only reason this makes sense, because if it's your wedding, who's going to tell you shit? Wait, so did she just have an ugly dress?
No. So there's a little bit of background that I want to clarify.
Okay.
They are still together today, unfortunately for me. and they are one of those couples who have been aggressively on and off for now about 13 years. And I'm talking, there were times where they were like breaking up a minimum of 5 to 7 times a year. Like, it's just, it's always been a thing.
But they've been doing this for 13 years?
Yes. And also, something to preface, there were multiple people who acted absolutely insane at my wedding and basically shit on my wedding and ruined it. So after the wedding, there was like a few weeks where I was like, my emotions were really high. And like, the people, which she was one of them, the people who shit on my wedding, like, I was on edge the whole time for like weeks.
I definitely understand that this is a horrible time to be asking as you're telling about your emotional frustration. But what exactly did the people do to shit on your wedding? Like, I can't be the only one who's like on the edge of their seat.
Oh, yeah. So one of them decided to start basically breaking up with his girlfriend on the dance floor. and then they started fighting.
Okay, I don't mean to laugh to be insensitive, but like, if that were a rom-com, I'd watch the fuck out of it. Okay, so one of them is breaking up on the dance floor at a wedding.
Yes. My own sister screamed in my face because her car died in the parking lot. That was a whole other...
Honestly, that's real as hell. Okay. I don't even understand that, because like, yeah, you're frustrated, but that's when you take a look back and you're like, okay, those are the literal two people I cannot complain to today.
Yeah, yep, you would be correct.
Like, what would, what did she expect you to even do with her car? Just be, oh, good thing I've got some jumper cables up my dress.
You know, and the funnier part was, there were about 6 mechanics in the back of the room that could have gone out and helped her. So it wasn't even that serious.
Okay, I'm so sorry to get off track one more time, but why were there 6 mechanics in the back of the room?
My husband is a mechanic, so it was like his work friend.
Okay. I was like, do they own the wedding venue? Did you get married in a garage? No judgment, but no. Definitely would change the visual in my head. Okay, so we have a breakup and a broken down car. What did this girl do? Your new, I guess, almost sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. She was upset with Randy that he was not paying enough attention to her at his own brother's wedding. So she sat at the table and cried and basically made everybody feel bad for her for most of the night.
You're lying.
I wish I was.
I like, here's the gag. If this, I didn't think this was your actual wedding day. Knowing that info, I'm like, yeah, you could tell the bitch to rot. And I'd be like, yeah, it's your day. I don't know what else to say. Like, as someone who has sobbed at a wedding, you have to fucking hide that shit, babe. It doesn't matter if it's 11:30 p.m. at night. You're putting on the sunglasses. I've learned from experience. And then you grab a cigarette and you, it's like an adult pacifier. Okay. You smoke the cigarette like an adult and you suck it up, literally. Oh my God.
And like, you could have just gone home. You didn't have to stay there.
I don't know. That, I think going home would look a little terrible. I mean, like, I feel like she's also kind of the bitch who'd be like, damned if she do, damned if she don't. Like, she's the person who, like, breathes. And you're like, you are in my way. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Especially given the fact that to this day, since I sent this text message, I have not said a single word to her. And that was almost 9 years ago.
Whoa. The silence was deafening, both in the studio and in your guys' text thread. Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, so with all of that info, no, I don't think you are the asshole, especially if this is like their song and dance No pun intended.
Yeah.
Although, so your wedding, if they've been doing this for 13 years and you got married 9 years ago, so this was 4 years into going on and off.
Yes.
Okay, so that's not as crazy as 13 years. Like, I'm sitting here with, like, the auspice that, like, oh my God, out of 13 years, you picked today.
Yeah.
But, like, still four is too many.
Right.
I don't think anybody should be doing that. And, like, listen, your dog dies, a family member dies, sure. Sob your fucking eyes out. Leave the room. Leave the room.
Right.
That's like telling a joke at a funeral and just, like, laughing out loud. It's like... No, I get it. Like, a joke can be funny. Read the room? Question mark. So she was crying and you went up to her and you said, you have to sit in the janitor's closet so no one has to look at you?
No. So what ended up happening was they broke up the night of my wedding, like, after the fact. And then for, like, 2 weeks after that, she kept, like, showing up at random family members' houses because he wasn't talking to her. So she would just show up at, like, random members of the family to, like, hang out with them and talk to them. And basically, one day I found out she showed up at one of the family members' house, and I kind of just snapped. And I think I blacked out a little bit. And I sent her this really, really long text, basically ripping her apart. And then at the end, I said, I should have sat you in the janitor's closet at the wedding so no one had to look at you and you could have mopped up your own tears.
Oh, I mean, bitch, I fear you ate with that. I should have sat you in the janitor closet so no one had to look at you and so you could mop up your own tears. God damn. Okay. Oh, my. Wow. You really kicked a limp dog when it's down. Okay, so it wasn't at your actual wedding that you said that.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, that might change things. I think you might be the ass. I don't think you're, like, the full whole, you know? Like,
which is fine. Like, I'm okay with that. But it was more like you literally chose, like, my wedding to make part of the day about you because your boyfriend wasn't paying attention to you.
I am not forgetting or discounting that because, like, oh, I would be the same fucking way, just for the record.
Yeah.
But, like, in the game of am I the asshole, I would say you're, like, the ass, you know? Like, you didn't maybe have to say so you could mop up your tears, although, bar, that was a fucking bar. So, like, there was, like, a little attitude. I'm not saying it wasn't justified, but I think you're, like, the ass. You're not the asshole.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And, like, who wouldn't want to be, like, a nice juicy ass instead of a scary, wrinkly hole, you know? Anyways, that, I don't know why I just put that visual into all of our heads. Wow, I feel accomplished. I feel like that was a really straightforward one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. I'm so glad I could share it with you. And I can't wait for the possibility of the family finding this podcast.
I mean, here's the thing. Family, she donated this in the name of art. So if you don't like that and you get mad at her, you're against the arts. And you know who else is?
Also, most of the family expects me to be extremely blunt and honest, and I think a good amount of them already know this story, so it's fine. It is what it is.
I mean, like, yeah, I don't want to burst your bubble or rain on your wedding day, but I think that text message has probably circulated the family already. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and I'll talk to you later, ass.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Wow, I don't know why anybody chooses to try it on someone's wedding day. That's like common knowledge, just to, like, fly under the radar and support where you can. Crying at the table? Granted, I cried, but by the time it came to the dinner part, oh, honey, you have to pull it together, okay? You have to pull it together. Oh my gosh, maybe on the after show I'll talk about that wedding. But then again, maybe I won't because, boy. Speaking of which, we will be doing an after show on patreon.com/Chris Clemens. And I've been loving the after shows. It just feels like a really fun extension of the show. Be sure to subscribe to patreon.com/Chris Clemens and become a member of the page. It's a fun time. Now, our next call is someone named Erin. And she has a crazy work story of a time that she worked at a bank, and there was a one coworker in particular who was a gigantic piece of shit. And so I want to hear more. Hi, Erin. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I am very intrigued about your job at the bank and your certain coworker who was a total piece of shit. Why would you classify your coworker as a piece of shit?
multiple reasons. So first of all, oh my God, okay.
Did you just like get hit in the head with a frying pan on Tom and Jerry? What was that?
Sorry, I'm on my balcony and I'm trying to move my chair to sit down and I hit the railing.
No, I mean, are you okay? I guess is the first question I should have asked.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're literally starting this one off with a bang. So why was she like, what were like some of the reasons? What were the reasons?
Okay, so first of all, she was literally the same age as my mother, so we're going to start with that. I worked at the bank, like, in my early 20s. I'm in my late 20s now, which, oh my God, I'm so old.
No, you're not. Late 20s is still young, okay? I used to do the whole, I'm so old, I'm so getting old. No, we're not doing that, okay?
Okay.
Getting old is a fucking privilege, and it's so fun. You just get more and more free will, and people give you more and more free will.
You know what? Yeah, we're good. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, listen, if you hit your head on a railing on your balcony, it would probably take you out. And what a blessing that would be.
Kind of iconic, not gonna lie.
No, that really would be. If I'm on the other end of the line, Jesus Christ. Okay, we're getting really off topic, but I'm not mad about it. So what made your coworker a piece of shit part three?
So basically, again, first of all, she was the same age as my mother.
Does that mean like she was mean? Like is that a bad thing?
No. I just mean like she was like twice my age and she should be acting a lot better in a professional setting.
Totally. I have the IQ of someone half your age, so that's great.
She was really weird. Like when I first started, she loved me. She loved training me, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But basically the way that she is there's a lot of turnover at this bank. So anytime somebody new would start, whoever was before, like the person that she trained before the newbie, she suddenly hated them. And it was just so fucking weird. And she started treating you like shit and just being really aggressive and really odd. And
like, so she would do this when she was training the next person after you.
Yeah, she would like shit talk you to the newbie.
And that's when you should just jump in and say, well, do I have something to say about Carol?
Yeah, no, literally. And the best part is that it's like, girl, like I barely get paid minimum wage at this job. Like I'm here to do deposits and withdrawals. Like shut up.
No, it's like I get paid the minimum wage and so I'm going to do the minimum.
But also she had been there like when I was there, she had been there for already like 10 or 12 years and she was messing up basic teller transactions. And it was like deposit a check, click the deposit check button, enter the amount, click enter. And it was like, she was doing it in the people's wrong accounts and she was fucking up their investments. And I was like, I was only there for less than 3 years and I knew more than she did.
Gag. Oh my God, you better bank tell her. Oh my God, you better bank tell her.
And like, we did a thing where the tellers had to go through each other's days every single day. And at first I was like, this is really weird. She's been here for like a decade. But when I started doing it, I was like, girl, you deposited a business deposit into like someone completely unrelated personal account. Like this is hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this was like 2 weeks ago.
Did she ever like put too much money into an account? Cause like, I'm like, suddenly I want to go to your bank and really deposit some checks and be like, oh, look over there. 00.
And when I was still learning, I would ask her, hey, like, how do I do this? And she would always just tell me, read the manual, read the procedures. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm a visual learner. So it would help if you showed me. This manual don't mean shit to me. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
No, whenever a job has given me a manual, I'm like, that's really cute. I'm going to go, I guess, have a bonfire this week.
Okay, this I found out after I left with someone that I was still friends with that was still at the bank at the time. And she goes, I was still new when you were still here, so I didn't tell you this at the time because I felt bad. But now I also hate her. So one time she was standing beside me and it was like first thing in the morning. And all of a sudden it starts smelling like really bad. And I didn't know why. And then all of a sudden she looks at me and says, I have to run home. And then she left me alone in the branch, running the branch by myself as a teller. And then she came back. And I put two and two together, and she fucking shit her pants.
Okay, well...
So when I say she was a piece of shit, she was a piece of shit.
Okay, well, let me just first and foremost defend, I think, myself, because I think I'm low-key catching a stray here. As a pants shitter, that does not make you a piece of shit. Just want to put that out there.
I have also been in her situation at work, okay? I'm not going to deny that, but it's funny because we all hate her.
Oh, I didn't get to point number two. That is literally so funny that she pooped herself at like 9 in the morning. That is really just incredible. And the fact that she was like, I gotta go. Did you? Oh, no, you found this out after.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, I wish I would have been there. Like, oh my God, that...
Oh, I just know that if I worked there, I would have rolled up the next day with some adult Pampers. I mean, that would have been on her desk first thing Monday morning. Oh my God, I would never have let her live that down.
My favorite part is that, like, she thinks that she's, like, pun intended, she thinks that her shit don't stink.
Well, as I can hear from the anecdotes coming out of that bank, it do.
Yeah, and her son actually is neighbors with my brother. And every time I drive by, I just think about it. And I'm like, does he know how chaotically fucked up his mom is?
I mean, here's the thing. He's in the house. Yeah, he definitely does. He 100% does. And he's probably wiped her ass a few times by the sound of it.
A different friend that I had that worked at the bank. We all worked at this fucking bank. It was like a good starter job at the time, okay? So we're going to start with that.
Was it a good starter job? It doesn't fucking sound like it was.
Well, you know, I worked there during the first part of the pandemic. And let me just say that if you thought people were crazy about masks during the pandemic, people were crazy about their money during the pandemic, let me tell you.
Oh, I remember.
So a different friend that I had that was still there, she told me after I left, she was like, she would talk shit about me and say that I was crazy and I'm on medication. And I was like, girl, I take antidepressants because I have PTSD. Shut the fuck up. You should probably be on some.
Oh my God. If someone was like, and they're on medication. Yeah, bitch, I am on medication for your fucking safety. Are you kidding me? You think pooping your panties is going to be the biggest problem of your morning? Guess again. I'm going to pop my Wellbutrin and Prozac like a fucking adult.
The thing is that this branch that I worked at, it's like, I want to say locally owned. It's locally owned to the province that I live in Canada. It's very small, and it was only in like small towns type vibe.
Okay. I don't
like it wasn't like a big institution. Like, it wasn't like, oh, there's one of these all throughout Canada. I was like, no, it's in this province, and it, like, serves this small town.
Okay, come on, boutique bank. You fucking better do.
Yeah, they're going bankrupt and had to, okay. They had to amalgamate with a different bank now, but...
Got it. Well, okay, little local boutique bank. No, you better don't.
My favorite thing is that, like, people that I know that still live in the small town, they all hate her, too. They're like, she's such a bitch. She doesn't do her job properly. I'm like... I work there. I know.
Got it. So, I mean, she's just not meant to work here. She seems incapable of doing her job correctly. And I think that is that
she
where...
She should have retired a long time ago.
Oh, she did.
Oh, no, she should have. She's still there. She should retire.
Oh, my God. Why do I want to take a little field trip to Canada? And then maybe I'll just overstay my welcome and stay. Who knows? Wow. Okay. So, thank you for sharing about... We're just going to call her Carol, and if that's her real name, even better. Crappin' Carol.
Can we call her Karen? Because I feel like that's better.
Oh, Karen feels a little too, like, on the nose. Like, Carol, I feel like, could be a really sweet person or, like, a total bitch.
That is honestly fair.
Thank you. I try to be. Well, have a great rest of your day, and thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for calling me. I hope that the rest of your night goes well.
You too. Bye. Okay, well, thank God she shit her pants, because honestly, otherwise she just seems like every other, like, terrible coworker that you have at a job where it's just like, really, anything they do is just fucking annoying. Now, our next caller is Lynn, and she has two great stories. But the one we're going to be talking about on the main show is about two coworkers who are hooking up while one was still married and the boss of the other. Now, she has another story about how she found out her principal was actually low-key a felon and conned their way to the top. But we are going to be talking about that one on the after show. So be sure to join patreon.com/ChrisClemons. And you can hear about that tea then. But right now, we're talking to Lynn about the coworkers. Hi, Lynn. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, you have two stories that you wrote in about, and we're going to be talking about the principal one on the after show. But what's going on with these little two coworkers of yours who are getting to work while at work?
Yeah, well, okay. So I have to be like, I can't name names. Obviously, I still work there.
Okay. Love. Okay, let's is it a man and a woman or a man and a man, woman, woman? What is it?
Woman, woman.
Oh, woman loving woman at work. Honestly, that's a banger of a podcast title.
Honestly, amazing.
So we'll call one of the women Sue and one of the women Anne. You can tell us what the dynamic is.
Okay, so I'm a teacher, and Sue is an assistant principal, and Anne is a security guard at our school. Okay.
Okay, the fact that schools have security guards is crazy, but that is just a whole different convo for a whole different day.
Yes, we can't get into the education system right now. I'll break down crying.
No, and I'll just start breaking down the set with my fists. Okay, so we have Sue and Anne. Sue is the principal, assistant principal?
She's assistant principal, yup. And then Anne is the security guard.
All right.
And Sue had a husband with kids and, like, I don't know, just made it seem like it was chill and good time and all, everything was fine at home. And then we got Anne, our new security guard, and we all just started picking up the vibes right away. You know, like, there's just things people do and you're like, oh, like, you might be trying to test the waters there. And that's fine, to each their own. We support everybody.
Wait, you saw her making moves on the assistant principal?
Well, like, not really, but they'd make comments about hanging out outside of work. And then it started being the principal was carrying around the security guard's phone in her back pocket and she would, like, grab it out of there. And so we were like, oh, okay, like, all right. And then one day it was superhero day. And the assistant principal wore a superhero and the security guard wore the sidekick for that. And they, like, took pictures, were matching, all that, right? And then after lunch, they were in the wrong shirts.
No!
Yes. And it wasn't the teachers that noticed. It was the middle schoolers that noticed and told everybody.
Okay. Well, I mean, oh my God, you didn't even notice? I was going to say, I'm sure the teachers noticed. You are the teacher. What?
Like, we just, like, I don't know. We have a school of 800 kids, you know, like, we're all busy. We're all over the place.
Oh no, that's super fair. Oh my God. So what did the kids say?
They were like, oh my gosh. So this morning when I came in, Sue had on this and now Sue has on this. And isn't that what Anne had on earlier? And I was like, oh my God. So of course my nosy self, you know, sprinted down the hallway to go see if the kid was telling the truth. Cause you know, they lie sometimes. And I was like, oh yeah, like 100%, 100%. They had swivety swapped their shirt during lunch period.
What grade was this kid in that noticed this?
7th grade.
Okay. I was going to say, if this is like a 4th grade, I'm going to be like, 4th graders are getting too smart and we need to start dumbing them down, which is, I think, actually what the administration is doing. So maybe we don't need to do that. But a 7th grader, that feels real as hell. There was nothing better than being in 7th grade and, like, finding a fault with, like, the authority. How? Do you guys find them fucking on the swings? I mean...
Okay, no, but... So then they were caught outside of school multiple times at different grocery stores by different teachers holding hands. And then they would, like, drop their hands and, like, pretend it didn't happen. Which, like, we're all just like, come on, own it. Like, if you're going to do it, own it. Like, just say it. We all just want them to say it.
Well, is Sue still married?
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Oh, my God.
So then at the end of the school year... Sue actually got transferred from our school for other reasons, and Anne was still at our school the next year, but Sue got a divorce that summer, and Anne moved in, and they are still together, living together right now. Like, to this day, they still live together, but they will not admit, like, to anybody that they are a thing. Like, they, if you bring it up, they change the subject.
It's like Gail and Oprah.
Yeah, it's like just, oh, it drives us all crazy because, like, all the teachers know now and they don't work at our building anymore. So, like, we don't see them. But it's just like, come on. Like, you couldn't just own it. Like, just, we all just want them to say it once. Like, just say it.
This feels like middle school all over again of people. Just say that you're gay. Just say that you're gay. F*** it.
Just do it. Just say it. Come on.
I'm dead.
There was another time, too, that was, like, this was the one that I was, like, oh, there's no way. So Sue's office had its own bathroom attached, a teacher went to Sue's office and was, like, Sue, like, knocking on the door, blah, 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 blah. You can see in. We have windows. No one's in Sue's office, right? So she, like, takes a step back from the door and calls Sue and is, like, hey, where are you, Sue? She's, like, what do you mean? I'm in my office. And then she walks in and they're both in the office now. And, like, there's no other entry. So, like, what were y'all doing in that bathroom, huh?
Oh, my God! Yes. I am obsessed. obsessed. Oh my God, this is like a little Wattpad story. Like, I am
right.
Legs are crossed, applesauce, or whatever the phrase is. Oh my God. Wow.
I know. I figured you would like this story because, like, it's not crazy, but it's just like, you can't, sometimes even as a teacher, you can't believe the things that go on in schools that we didn't even know about when we were students.
No, but it's like most people go to school, and it's like, I think back now and I'm like, oh my God, was there teachers hooking up at school? I do remember one of my substitute teachers in second grade came in with a little tiny denim miniskirt that was frayed, a pink sweater with a turtleneck, or maybe it was a V-cut, and then tall UGG boots and a tiara. And she had like bleach blonde hair. And
she was worth that.
No, she was for sure, but it was like 2001. And like that was,
oh.
Yeah, that was just like not. Like, she was wearing a literal mini skirt, like,
oh,
7 or 8 inches above her knees. Like, it really was crazy, especially for 2001. But, like,
teaching the second graders, I love that.
I was like, yes, queen, work. You're so Y2K. And she's like, this is Y2K, bitch. It's literally 2001. But, wow, I don't know if I knew of any teachers hooking up. That's, like, juicy. That's, like, relatable juicy, you know? Like, nobody gets hurt. Well, I mean, except for her ex-husband and their kids. But that's for a family therapist, not me.
Well, right. And, like, to be fair, she ended up saying that he was shitty. So, like, maybe it worked out for the best for her.
Yeah, but was he shitty because she was a lesbian? Or, I don't know. I just think when you're, like, living repressed and in the closet, it's everyone else's fault.
Yeah, I don't know if he was, like, shitty pre-affair or what, but yeah.
And I also don't know why I'm, like, going to bat for a man I've never met. He probably was shitty, now that I'm saying out loud.
I mean, most men are, but, you know.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing this little work anecdote. I cannot wait to talk to you on the after show.
Oh, the next one is going to be insane. You buckle up.
Wait, is the principal you're talking about Sue?
No.
Oh, it's a different one. Okay, okay, okay.
Her and Sue were besties. Yeah, her and Sue were besties. So this is, yeah. Sue had information on the next story.
Oh my God, the way I'm titillated. Oh my God. Okay, I cannot wait to call you back. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for calling. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye. Oh my God. I mean, I need to fly through the next two calls because I need the tea on the after show. Oh my God. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking to Claire, who has a wild story about the first time that she ever had to run from the cops, which was at a house party in high school, which involves a stampede of 200 kids, her ex-boyfriend, and 8 people in a Toyota Corolla. So let's start the engine of this little Toyota Corolla. Hi, Claire. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I'm at a loss of words because you said the first time I ever had to run from the cops, and we'll get to that story, but have there been follow-up times you've had to run from the cops?
I mean, like, for reference, nothing, like, serious, just classic. Like I go to, like, a decently sized Northeast party school, and I'm in Greek life, so, like, a fair amount of just running from the cops at parties, but this was definitely the one that takes the cake and was also the first time I ever had to do it.
Okay, wow. You could just say that you're popular without saying that you're popular. Damn.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, you'll understand why I was at this party.
Okay, so this is high school. What year of high school is this?
This is, like, the summer after my junior year, so, like, 4 years ago at this point.
Okay, so it's about to be senior year and someone's having a house party?
I mean, the rundown to set the scene, like, my best friend was taking me to this party, and, like, I didn't go to school with her. We danced together at the same studio, but, yeah, like, best friend since childhood. She's taking me to a party that she kind of knows the host, but, like, not really. Like, we're party crashing.
Narrator, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
So you both are essentially at a stranger's house in high school for a party.
Yes.
How did it escalate to a stampede of 200 kids? And where does your ex-boyfriend come in? And then also, why were 8 people in a Toyota Corolla?
So, like, to set the scene as to why we're at a stranger's house and there's 200 kids, that's kind of, like, what my hometown, like, house party culture was.
Yeah, you were in high school and y'all wanted to get drunk in the summer. No, I get the vibe intensely. Like, you just sometimes are at a stranger's place. Yeah.
So people would just show up at these parties And so we get to this party and like we pull up, barely know anyone. And this one was by far the biggest I had been to. We're talking like 200 to 250 people in this kid's backyard.
Okay.
And we were on time. So I fear like the party had started, like people had heard about it and it was popping off. We were probably two joints in before we had gotten to the party. And then we get there and we just start slamming drinks and smoking more, as high schoolers do.
I mean, I'm looking back on my high school experience. I don't remember that, but sure, as high schoolers do.
Well, maybe that's just my hometown then. But we're making our way through the party and quite literally out of nowhere, like out of this sea of people I don't know, I see my ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago. Like we're talking like freshman year of high school. I hadn't seen him in 2 years.
Oh my God. When I read this, I didn't think you guys were exes at the time. I thought he was now your ex. Oh my God. This is all starting to click together in my decrepit, crumbling brain. Okay. So you see your ex-boyfriend across a room of people.
Yeah.
And then Party For You starts playing.
But yeah, so I see him and then I see his best friend. And like, once again, they also, they don't go to high school with each other at this point. They don't go to high school with me. And they sure as hell don't go to the high school. Like they don't go to high school with the host of this party. So that's how big this party is getting, like out of hand.
Okay, got it.
Like people from four or five different towns are all pulling up.
Oh my God. Were there tickets sold to this party or it was like literally just like, don't come in the front door, come around back?
No, it was come through the front door, which is why it becomes a problem.
Gotcha. Okay.
But wild, I hadn't seen him in 2 years. We had initially broken up because it was one of those things where young relationship, I didn't know how much further I wanted to take it. He definitely wanted to take it further. Whatever, we broke up. No hard feelings, but pretty much stopped talking. Didn't see him for 2 years. We see each other, and as horny high schoolers do, immediately start hitting it off again and probably running it back.
Like anal?
No, like running it back, like, you know, running the relationship back.
Oh my God. I was like, whoa, I've never heard that referred to as running it back. Okay, so sorry. Got it. You were reminiscing.
Yes, reminiscing.
Oh my God, what is wrong with me? Don't answer that, actually. Okay, so you guys are reminiscing, or as you say, running it back.
Yeah, reminiscing. And then about 45 more minutes go by, more people are pulling up to this party. There's more alcohol going around, more weed going around. And we're in the backyard, so it's like open air. We can't see the front of the street, but like we can see cop lights, like cop cars.
Okay.
Everything's chill, though, because the cops had shown up to high school parties before, and normally it's just, like, a noise complaint, and they just tell us, like, shut it down, everyone goes home, or, you know, turn the music off. So everyone's chilling in the backyard, and we don't really pay much attention to it, because we're like, they'll leave soon. It's like 20 more minutes go by, and then we see a lot of police lights. Like, a lot.
What's, like, a lot? Like, more than 10?
We're talking, like, like, when I finally saw the cop cars as I left the party, like 15 to 20.
Oh, were you at the original Project X?
Maybe.
It was just a noise complaint, nothing else?
Oh, it was probably more than that, but I fear I never got the details.
So you guys notice a ton of more cop cars coming.
Yeah. And then this is where the story gets fun, and me and my best friend like to reminisce about it. Out of nowhere, like, we're chilling. We're like, okay, there's no reason to panic. Like, no one said anything. Like, what are we going to do? We're not going to start anything. Someone else, out of nowhere, just shouts, run.
Right. No, that definitely seems like the best thing you could scream out right now with no other follow-up.
Yeah. And did we actually have to run? Probably not. It might have literally just been a noise complaint.
But none of y'all were about to find out, that's for sure.
No, we were not about to find out. Are you kidding? So this mass crowd starts running out the back gate of this house. But the gate opening is so small that eventually, like, we just bust down the whole fence.
Okay.
And then I realized that my dear ex-boyfriend and his best friend, who, clarification, his best friend is also another one of my exes, I realized that they weren't there. So like an action hero, I turn around and run against the crowd back into the party to grab them and drag them out.
What were they doing that they didn't hear run and then also see everyone evacuate?
I couldn't tell you. I think maybe they were finding a better way to get out than like the 3 foot wide gate 200 people were trying to run through, but I figured there was no other option. Oh, and at that time, the fence gone. So we were leaving. We were also gone.
Totally. So you grab your not one, but two exes from the house. And then what happens?
So we start booking it and we go out his back gate. But like when I say back gate, I mean like back gate, like goes from the backyard to like everyone else's backyards. So we're kind of like looping around and running through other people's backyards. But something else had to go wrong, of course. There's a river that runs through my town.
Oh my God.
It's a pretty deep drop into the river.
Oh my God.
And it's pitch black. So as we're running through people's backyards, people start like slipping off and like down into the river. And it's not like a straight drop, but it's like you're taking a tumble.
Okay. I mean, you got to cut to the chase, babe. I am like on the edge of my seat, like praying a rosary right now.
So one of our friends who we kind of knew, we're like running past her. She like almost fell. And then my best friend, like Superman, scoops her up with one arm and like chucks her forward to keep running, like onto flat land.
Was this high school sky high? I mean, why are all of you fucking superheroes right now?
It was the adrenaline. We were not about to find out why the cops were there, and we were not about to leave with them.
No, that's super fair, but wow, that's good for you guys. Honestly, when I'm drunk, it's like, I don't think I could become dumber.
Oh, I've never been able to do this again, I wish. But so since the party was on a cul-de-sac, we couldn't like stay in people's backyards forever. So eventually, from like the, I low-key wish I was by the cop cars to get a proper view of this. From multiple like pitch black backyards, this stampede of high schoolers comes like rushing at and then through the cop cars and like past them to our cars.
So y'all are drunk and then about to get in your own cars?
Yeah, and I want to preface it. Drunk driving is not funny. I would never do it again, but this was high school and I fear we were degenerates.
No, I also fear that. Okay, so is this when we get to the 8 people in a Toyota Corolla?
Yeah, so we're running. We've like kind of seen a bunch of people we kind of know, whether they're like middle school friends or like acquaintances. And a lot of people are like, we don't know like what our next move is, like where we're going. Like we walked here, but also like we can't show up like this to our parents' houses. Or like no one knows what their next move is. And of course, me and my best friend were like, well, we drove here. Everyone get in our car.
Well, we are superheroes. So look at us coming to the rescue, part 3.
So we passed like 8 or 9 people into my best friend's, at the time, 20-year-old Toyota Camry that barely fucking runs. That she was speed racing earlier in the day, let me add.
Work. How many people got in the trunk?
I think like 2. So it was like 2 people in the trunk, like, I don't know, like 5 people in the back seat, and then us 2 in the front.
I'm fucking dead that a bunch of drunk high schoolers are running by cops to escape and then getting into the cars drunk and thinking we are good. It's not funny, but it's like, God, does that just so clearly showcase most high schoolers' brain activity? Did everything end up fine?
Well, there's a little more of a lapse in judgment. We get in the car and we should, if we're going to pursue, you know, the option of drunk driving away, get in the car and fucking book it. But no, we get in the car and we realize, oh my God, like we're all drunk. We're out past probationary driving curfew because we all have our probationary licenses and we have way too many people in the car. Like this isn't good. So no one wants to be the one to drive. So we sit there for like a minute or two contemplating. Meanwhile, it's go time. Like the cops are behind us, like still trying to get the crowd under control that's running. But one girl pipes up and she's like, I'm sober. Is this true? To this day, I don't know. But she was like, I'm sober. I can drive. She didn't even have her permit, but sure. She's the sober
one. She's like, this is the first day of driver's ed. It can only go up from here.
Exactly. And we were like, you know what? But you're the sober one. And we'd rather have the sober person drive in case this goes south. So we basically put her in the driver's seat and we say, go girl, you got it. Start driving. No one's giving directions. She's never driven before, like barely. We somehow make it to the parking lot of a nearby church to where she crashes the car into one of those like parking spot barriers.
Oh my God. I don't know why in my head the story goes that she crashed into like a statue of Mother Mary, but a parking lot pole is fine. The anxiety that this story gives me as a 31-year-old adult is crazy. And the way this wouldn't have even phased me in high school.
Look back on it, even now as a junior in college, I'm like, I could never, like, driving after having like a sip of beer freaks me out. So I don't know what I was doing, why I was in this car. But anyways, she basically crashes it into one of those like little low-lying concrete barriers at the end of a parking spot. And my friend's bumper is fucked, but also her car is 20 years old and barely runs. So the whole thing was fucked. Her parents never noticed. We switched drivers from there and all got home safe. And then we went home and smoked a bowl and passed out.
And then you all said, good night, Moon. And that's the end of that book. What the fuck? The way that that was like crazy and somehow I feel like stereotypical of high school is wild to me. I want the POV camera of this all. Like, just from start to finish, I'm like stressed out. I'm just like stressed now.
No, when I think back on high school, like that's it. That's like my high school like peak story. Would I ever do it again? No, but I almost wish I could relive it because that was definitely the most exciting night of my high school career.
Oh my God, you scare me. You want to relive that? That sounds horrifying.
Well, I don't want to like do it again, but I wish I could like chase that feeling, you know, that high.
Oh my God, we're all just looking for a thrill. This is so fucked. Yeah. We're all like, I just want the adrenaline rush of being 14 again.
Yes.
Wow. Well, Claire, thank you so much for sharing that little debaucherous tale.
Thank you for having me.
No, I appreciate it. The Brothers Grimm are quaking in their boots with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? And I'm also like, why did I even mention the Brothers Grimm? But it's, let's just forget it happened. Thank you so much for calling, and I will talk to you later.
Of course, talk to you later.
Bye. Oh my God. Guys, I don't know, like, this is how I know I'm getting old, and I'm not, like, sad about getting old, but it's, like, I can definitely tell, like, when I was younger, I'd be like, I'm never gonna let myself get old, and I'm just like, oh my God, that stresses me out, like, that story stresses me out. Anyways, our last caller is Alyssa, and there's a different kind of crime happening in her little anecdote. Hi, Alyssa. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I want to talk about you and your ex getting robbed right outside your house the day he asked you out. First of all, what?
Yeah.
When did this happen? How old were you?
I was 19.
Oh my God. What is a robber stealing from a 19-year-old? I mean, like, Jesus Christ, we barely have a debit card at that point.
Yeah, this happened around July of 23. I was keeping it a secret from my parents at the time. So, like, he came by at a time where both my parents were gone and I was by myself.
Okay.
It happened right outside in front of my house. He parked there and, like, we were talking. He gave me, like, this bouquet of flowers that he made. I saw from my peripheral vision two people with ski masks coming from around the corner. And, like, I didn't really pay no mind to it because we get a lot of weird people, like, walking in front of my street. I don't live in the safest area.
Okay, but do you ever see people walking by with ski masks on in the middle of the day?
No, I should have thought twice.
No, I mean, it's okay. When you're 19, your brain isn't fully formed. So, like, you're off the hook, but I'm just sort of like, oh my God, if I saw two people approaching in the middle of the day wearing ski masks, I would probably qualify for the Olympic track team.
I think the reason why I didn't really pay too much mind to it either was because I was too fucking blind by the situation that was happening between me and my ex.
That's fair. Okay. So he was asking you out and you have this like beautiful bouquet of flowers that he made and these two people in ski masks are approaching.
Yeah. And I noticed that, like, when they approached the car, they split up. Sorry, I'm going to be dropping a lot of F-bombs. It's kind of a habit for me.
No, it's okay. You're luckily on a show that is marked explicit.
So, like, as they approached the car, I noticed that they had split up. But then again, stupid me, I didn't realize what was happening at the time until one was behind me and the other one wrapped around the car to come behind my ex. All of a sudden, I hear a click of some sort. And then I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They didn't pull anything out, but the one that made the clicking sound, he had his hand in his pants as if he was going to pull something out.
Sorry, I'm still here. I'm just like literally speechless. Okay, so you both are being like, not taken, but physically grabbed by these men.
Yes. So like after they wrapped around the car and like after like they made the clicking sound, I'm pretty sure of the, you know, the pew pew.
No, I definitely didn't think it was a pen from Staples and he was going to write you a check, just for the record.
So after he made the sound, the one that came behind me grabbed me, pushed me against the car and started like frisking me to see what I had on me. Thankfully, I only had my phone. And I think he took my ex's wallet. Like, it was a quick interaction, but it was a very crazy one.
Yeah, so how did you get the phone back if you're talking to me on it?
So I have a trapper phone as well. So, like, it kept, like, the location of this phone.
Okay.
So I knew where it went in case, like, they try to take it anywhere. But, like, since this phone is already registered to somewhere, like, to me, like, they can't really do anything with it. So they, like, ran down the blocks, and then they threw my phone into the street.
Ugh, that's so annoying. Like, at that point, just keep the phone. To give it back and it's all fucked up? Like, ugh.
Thankfully, it wasn't too far into the street to where it got, like, extreme damage. Only one of my camera lenses got messed up.
That's actually pretty impressive.
I know, but, like, thank God. But he ended up leaving right after it happened, like, chased down the dudes. And then he couldn't find them, but then he also called his brother and his uncle for backup. And, okay, he wasn't a gangster, but this also isn't the first time I was put in a dangerous situation while I was with him.
I don't know if I need to hear it anymore if I'm going to be that. Are you okay?
I don't think I really processed a lot of the trauma.
I'm really gathering that because it sounds like you're processing it on this phone call.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I didn't even have to be with him in the first place because he was my best friend's cousin.
Okay.
And so that's how I ended up getting with him. And then now they're both not in my life.
And you know what? That seems like it's maybe for the best.
No. And like, I am so thankful. So thankful.
That's crazy. Wow. If you can work through this, I definitely recommend working through that because I don't know how you're like, okay. That's literally trauma.
Yeah. I did end up telling my parents. But I didn't tell them until, like, a year later.
What did they say to all of this?
I didn't tell them about being held at gunpoint.
Babe, that's a pretty major plot point.
I told my mom on Mother's Day.
You told her the detail of the gun?
Oh, no, I didn't tell them at all. I didn't tell them the gun part. I excluded the gun part.
Oh, they to this day don't know that that took place.
They know that I got mugged, but I just did not include the puke.
Got it. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that exclusive with us. My God, I am glad you're okay, first of all. I mean, like, physically. I mean, mentally, I can't imagine.
I think it, like, kind of, like, settled in a fear in me. Like, before that moment, I was always ready to, like, you know, if I needed to get off of this earth, I was ready. But then now, I kind of have, like, a fear of, like, dropping dead.
That is, like, so real, I feel. Did you, like, grow up with, like, depression and anxiety and stuff? Or, like, thoughts?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not trying to, like, pry or anything, but, like, I did as well. And there was so much of my life where I was like, I don't care if I live or die.
Mm.
And then as like I got better, quote unquote, or just as I got older and I prioritized my mental health and all of that, that's a feeling I've never actually like thought about. But you so perfectly summed that up of just like suddenly feeling afraid of the thing that you once like didn't care about. And
yeah,
wow, holy shit. This just ended on like a fucking philosophical note that I literally did not see coming. But that's such a real feeling to have.
It's weird because like it took a year for that feeling, for this feeling to like settle in, because like I only started to like realize this now. Like I just came to this realization like a few days ago.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, I think when you go through something traumatic like that, it kind of shifts your perspective of like, wow, I could have literally gone in that moment and I didn't want to. And like, I think that changes something within you, you know, to quote Elphaba, something has changed within me. And I think that's like what those moments do. They like, it's like when you see the possibility of something being taken away from you, it suddenly has a ton more value because you think about what it's like to actually lose it, you know?
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about it right now. I'm like, everything is like replaying in my head. I'm like, holy shit.
If you are able to, I definitely recommend going to therapy or something, or like a group where you can talk about traumatic things like this. But I definitely feel like you need to like not have it just be sitting in your head on loop, you know?
Like, it is a dream to like think that, like, I know like therapy is always a possibility, but like just for me as of right now, because like my parents are the type of people, you know, who don't, are like, you don't need therapy.
Oh, got it.
They're all about like trauma isn't all that real. I'm like, okay.
I wonder, and I'm not saying that you should do this, but I'm wondering if you being honest with them about the situation would change their mind. If you were like, I need to speak to a professional. There's something I never told you. Because, I mean, not that you should have to do that, but like, do you think that that would help?
I feel like if I bring it up now, it would be like so random.
But I mean, if you express to them that you're suffering mentally, are they the type of parents who would just say like it'll get better, or would they like really be down to try something like therapy for you?
Yeah, they're not the.
Got it.
They're not gonna be the.
Damn, maybe just find like a local support group or something. I know a friend who went to support groups and really, I mean, benefited greatly from it. So I would say if your parents aren't gonna be big on therapy, I think find just like a group you can go to and at least speak about this and hear from other people, and maybe you'll find ways on how to help you cope and move forward and move past this. But thank you so much for sharing, and I'm so glad that you're okay again physically. But just know that every day is a chance to grow and to heal yourself a little bit more and give yourself a little bit more love and care. And oh, I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share this with you. You were like one of the very few people that I've shared this with. And like, honestly, you were probably one of the best people to like you gave the best advice, or like the, you know, the best response.
That's so nice. Thank you. I mean, I don't know about that, but I just try and think about it. If like that were I were in your position, like, how I would want it to be handled and how I would want to handle it, you know? So, like, I guess I'm just an empath.
Aren't we all, girl? Aren't we all?
Well, thank you so much for sharing this, and I am wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, love.
Of course, love you.
Love you.
Bye. Wow. I mean, I talked about this on a previous episode. I think it was the last one. And you guys also, like, I read some comments that confirmed it. But the lesson of perspective that just talking to people allows you is so magical. Like, it sounds corny of like, this is why I do what I do, but this, I always get in my head about recording podcast episodes before thinking like, is this interesting? Blah, 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 blah. But like, I always finish these episodes and feel so like full. I don't know how else to say it, but it just, it's a very rewarding feeling to be able to see so many different ways that life happens, but also to sort of feel like a safe person for people to tell that kind of, she's like barely told her parents. She hasn't even told her parents the whole fucking tea shade lemonade of it all. I mean, damn, I just, it is, I always end these episodes feeling so like lucky and grateful. So thank you so much for listening to another episode of Chris versus the People. I wasn't really versus the people this episode. I was kind of with y'all real hard. Now, if you haven't, be sure to subscribe to Chris versus the People wherever you get your podcasts. We do video episodes up on youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok and rate this 5 stars and leave a nice little review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It takes 2 minutes and it really does so much to help. So thank you so much. And I will see those of you who are going to be joining us on the after show on patreon.com/ChrisClemons. I will see you guys next episode. Mwah. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.